Success isn't given, it's earned. And earning it means becoming the person who deserves it. The bottom line is where we cut through the chaos to simplify success, uncovering the strategies, mindset, and resilience it takes to win. Real stories, expert insights, and practical tools. Because the only way to the top is by putting in the work. This is The Bottom Line. Welcome to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and today we're here to talk about something that affects every relationship, every team, and every organization: communication. But not just any communication. We're talking about effective communication. There's a difference between speaking and truly being understood. And today, I want to focus on where that communication can break down and how that can change the dynamic of a team, of a relationship, and how an organization operates overall. And I know I've been in several situations where I feel like I'm just being heard, not being understood. And that can be frustrating. I've been in a position where I'm talking to a whole room of employees or team members or peers, and I'm really trying to get a point across because it's important to me, but I don't feel that they truly understand what I'm saying. And I'm sure many of you have been in those shoes as well, whether it be to a spouse or our kids or coworkers or sporting events, whatever it may be. We've all been in situations where we may say something, but is anyone truly listening? So today I want to talk about a few effective communication points that really matters on a deep level, right? And that's connection versus transmission. Communication isn't just sending information, it's creating meaningful connections. And I've learned over my career as a consultant that it's not always about getting all the information out there. A lot of the time it boils down to just making that connection, getting somebody to buy into who you are before they're really willing to buy into what it is you have to talk about, whether it be constructive criticism or an action plan for how to change their organization or make their team better, more efficient, whatever that may be. In my shoes, I've seen it's more effective and efficient to build that communication, that relationship before the communication is truly effective. So I think there's connection that is required so that the communication can be consistent and actually taken in. Another very important part of effective communication, I believe, is active listening. Now, we've all been told this in school, growing up. It's really common. You've got to be active listeners. You've got to be intentional with what you're listening to and pay attention to who's talking or wherever that information is coming from. But I like to take that a step further, because active listening, in my opinion, is genuine interest, showing genuine interest in what someone says. Active listening sometimes requires questions. Involves nodding, body language. That's a huge part of it. Active listening, number one, allows you to soak in more information by being genuinely interested in it. Second, your genuine interest is going to take down walls, break down barriers, and allow the speaker, whoever is talking to you, to be more comfortable and to tell you more and to be more confident that they're being heard. And if you're active listening, they are being heard. Another aspect of clear and effective communication is that clarity and simplicity. And I could talk about simplicity and communication till the cows come home. This is something I've put into practice with the businesses I've ran, the businesses I've helped in my own team on a regular basis, as well as my kids. Simplicity in communication. It's really easy to talk about a million different things. It's really easy to take a small point and turn it into something really big. And when we're doing that, we dilute the capability of making an impact or getting the information clearly understood. There's a few concepts my mentor had taught me. And one of them is essentially the understanding of brevity, how you can say few words and have a big impact. It can be more meaningful. And a lot of that boils down to patience and understanding of who it is you're talking to, as well as who it is you're listening to. But the power of delivering clear, concise, and compelling messages, it can be really refined into that clarity and simplicity and making it as simple as possible. I also want to focus on impact and influence, how effective communication can boost your leadership and professional growth. Impact can be done in a few different ways. Either you have really high quality things to talk about, or you deliver it in a really good way. Everything you hear, everything everyone else hears, is a form of influence. The influence is going to dictate your thoughts, and those thoughts are going to dictate your actions. So I believe a part of effective communication is understanding the impact of what you say, because that's going to dictate people's thoughts. And that is going to then control their actions or dictate their actions. So if your communication is not one, in based in connection, two, paying attention to the act of listening portion, if your message isn't clear and simple, you're going to lack the impact to create the influence you desire. Communication, in my opinion, has to be objective based. Every time I communicate with somebody, whether it be my wife, my kids, teammates, whoever, there is always some sort of objective, whether it's relationship, whether it's results of a task or changing a behavior. It has to have some form of objective. And no one is the same. Everyone's different. Everyone has a different response to communication types. I wrote in a book I co-authored about how my mentor communicates. For me, if someone's trying to lead me, they need to make me mad at me. I respond well to being yelled at. It's odd, I know. I don't know many people that respond well to that type of communication. But for me, if you can make me mad at me or show me that I'm in somebody else's way of success, I will move mountains. Whereas I've seen my mentor work with other mentees, and he was very soft, calm, collected, and delivered a message in a very subtle way. And that's what made that person move. We have to understand our communication needs to be tailored to the audience. If communication has an objective, it makes sense to understand what gets us closer to achieving said objective. For my son, he's very young, very crazy. He likes to destroy things, be crazy, and do dangerous stuff. For him, I have to get his attention, as any toddler, and I have to tell him, hey, you've got to be careful. You could get hurt. And if that doesn't work, the tone has to raise, the importance has to raise. And it's the same thing with any kind of communication. A good example, when you're the owner of a business, your job is to motivate, inspire, lead your team. And that also includes holding accountability. If you have to reprimand somebody for doing something dangerous for themselves, for the company, for coworkers, and you deliver it too soft, you approach it too calm, it can't be received as that serious. So in that form of communication, when you have an objective to change someone's behavior in a sense that their actions are unsafe for the business, for themselves, for others, it has to be delivered with a stern, honest, concerned, serious approach. Raising the tone, speaking straightforward, great eye contact. Those are important aspects of that objective-based communication. And although I've kind of lightly touched base on the body language aspect, and this is something I'm really looking forward to getting into with our guest today, body language. In this new age of technology and communication, we spend a lot of time communicating over the phone, over text, over Zoom meetings, things of that nature. It's hard to have one of the most important parts of communication when we do that, and that's the body language. Energy is transmitted through body language. Intention is transmitted through body language. Understanding, a lot of the time, can be seen through the body language of an individual. Someone with their arms crossed, turned slightly away from you, that sends a different kind of signal than if someone's in front of you, smiling, moving their hands, showing that passion, the communication, or just showing genuine interest in what you're saying, a sense of wonder. That body language is just as important as the verbal communication, because it allows us to have that clear message, that clear understanding. Not to mention, we can also see how someone feels about their communication based on their response to our body language. If you're more reserved, they may kind of back off a little bit in the way they're communicating. If you show genuine interest, as I've said before, with your body language, not just with your words, but with your actions, they're more likely to be comfortable, confident, and happy to share their information, to talk to you, to open up to you. And when it comes to leadership, when it comes to business, when it comes to parenthood or being a spouse, it is critical to be open and comfortable in the communication. It's easy to let communication fall to the wayside for something that's important. Another problem that we have is our phones. There's a body language signal that is, there's really just a signal altogether that is presented when you have your phone in your hand, even if it's sitting on the table in front of you. Flipped up, flipped down, doesn't make a difference. It sends a signal that the person you're talking to is not the most important thing, that you prioritize that device over them. Small things like body language can make a huge difference, just as your phone does. Today, I'm really, really excited to dive into further details, further topics, and the complexities of communication. It is such a big, big topic to talk about, and I have a wonderful privilege of having an expert, a genuine expert on this topic, to help us uncover how we can improve our communication and become effective communicators in all aspects of business, life. And it's the most important tool you'll have in your tool bag at any given time: your voice, your communication capabilities. So today, we're going to dive in, talk about really important things. Please grab a pen and pad. This is going to be a great one. I'm excited for it. And don't go anywhere. We will be right back on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and we are talking about effective communication today, the power that it really holds. And I am beyond excited to introduce our guest on this topic, a true expert, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Todd Wall. Not only is he the executive producer here at Now Media, he's also the host of Communication Makeover. It is such a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show today, Todd.
Absolutely, Ryan. I love being on Bottom Line. You're doing such a fantastic job of launching this show and getting to the bottom line of these very difficult topics. So I'm excited to be here today.
Well, I value your time highly, and I want to pick that marvelous brain of yours. So let's dive right in. Okay. What are some of the common communication blind spots people have that prevent them from being truly understood?
Well, first off, it's the main premise, and this is the premise we operate off of on Communication Makeover. George Bernard Shaw had this fantastic quote. He said, "The biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it took place in the first place." So the biggest blind spot is the belief that I've got a powerful message and everyone is automatically going to be ready with their notepads and pencils and ready to write down everything I just said. You see how ridiculous that is? I can't even say it with a straight face. But it's the belief that all I have to do is show up and speak because I'm so magnificent that they just can't wait to hear what I have to say. No, I think there's a little bit more to it. So what George Bernard Shaw in saying that the illusion is that it's taken place, that's the blind spot.
I really like how you put that. And it was hard for me to keep it together when you said that, because it does sound so outrageous when you say it out loud. And I probably should be taking notes myself, because it's easy to forget that in the moment, that sometimes we just automatically believe that we're being understood, that we say something out loud and people just automatically get it and it clicks with them. But how can somebody identify their personal blind spots when communicating?
It all comes down to the result that's received. So if intentional communication creates an intentional result, If you're not getting the result that you're looking for, don't blame the other person. You're the one communicating. It comes down to your communication. It comes down to, okay, well, maybe I didn't communicate in the way that connected, that created the result that I'm looking for. So if your team is not doing what you're asking for them to do, you're probably not communicating clearly. Ultimately, everything comes back to the leader and the leader taking responsibility for what is actually happening. I know there's always complex situations, but you get the result that you aimed for. So if you have a clear target, and really, and this goes into the blind spot as well. If you've done the deep work and you actually identify what that target actually is that you're looking for, then you can work backwards and, okay, then I need to do X, Y, and Z so that T can occur. You can see it as in a formulaic standpoint. Here's one of the main blind spot I dealt with early in communication. I was a young pastor in a seminary town filled full of academics. And so every time you communicated, it became the paradigm of not connecting with the audience, but making sure you looked good enough, making sure you sounded like a great orator, making sure you sounded and you looked like the one of whatever the great picture of the great pastor was. And so really the communication wasn't about them. It was about me. And that was my blind spot. The shift.
That's powerful.
The shift that took place was when I learned coaching from the International Coaching Federation, which essentially is the Socratic method. So when I learned that communication wasn't a one-way street, but was a conversation, was a dialogue, was a loop of a message going out, that message being received and coming back. Oh, this is what we received. Okay, now I need to send it back this way. And now it comes, as soon as I see it as a loop, then I'm going to communicate differently. And, you know, and we can talk tactics, you know, in our segments, but the big shift for me was, you know, explaining whatever complex issue that I was explaining, but then just pausing and just going and turning it into a conversation. And what would that look like for you? And pause.
I like that quite a bit. That actually kind of touches base on something that I've really been wanting to ask. And I think you're scratching the surface there on this, but maybe in a bigger way than I thought. And that's, why is communication often misunderstood, even with really intelligent people? And I think part of that was understanding that it's not about me. It's that objective, right? It's being able to understand there's that flow, but dig into that a little bit more. How do intelligent people still end up misunderstood?
I would change your sentence to especially by highly intelligent people. Here's the paradigm: is they've done the deep work, they know the context. They also didn't understand these things on the front end. But they're assuming because they've done the deep work, they've done the difficult things, they've had the aha moments, that all they have to do in their brilliance is say it again, and now everybody's going to get it. So the problem is them not recognizing that this is a conversation. You know, I'm an older guy. I've got adult children. But when my children were younger, and you mentioned your kids, your son a little earlier, there's a difference between when I stood over my children and I said, you need to do 1, 2, 3, versus when I got down on my knee, I looked him in the eye and said, Daddy needs you to do 1, 2, 3. Do you understand?
Even now, that made me want to listen to it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I think that's a great example, especially like when it comes to kids, but it does apply in the professional world as well. Kind of like as I touched base on a little bit before, was it's got to be tailored communication for your audience. If you go into it with an idea of a result that's best suiting for both people, it's got to be enlightened self-interest, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be a win for everybody. No one loses. You're going to find that approach that's going to, you know, get you closer to that point, right? But at the same time, What are some of the steps that we can take to improve in how we are understood?
First, it begins with the clarity of your message. And are you communicating in a way that's memorable and transferable? So are you just rattling off a whole bunch of complex information and just talking at someone, versus are you bringing a person into that conversation and then handing it out one piece at a time? You know, you can't swallow the whole thing all at once. So what is the outcome you're looking for? Now, what are the little individual pieces that I need to be swallowed, to be transferred, so that at the end of this conversation, hopefully it's not stuck in their throat or they just vomit it out and they move on. So it's just like, you know, if you're in an eating contest, you don't want the whole thing all over their shirt.
Right.
So if I'm in the hot dog competition, I can't just spit the hot dogs at you. I got to break those things up into smaller bites so that you can digest. It's digestion that is the critical element. It's not the, this is a hot dog. It's here's the first bite of the hot dog.
Yeah.
Am I clear on what that first bite is? And then I'm not going to move to the second bite until you've swallowed that first bite. Just like with your son, you're not going to keep shoving that stuff in there. What happens if you keep shoving it in there before he swallows?
Right. It's going to come back up. He's going to choke on it. It's not going to. Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like clarity and simplicity go hand in hand in making sure the message is understood and people can digest it and really get through. It reminds me of a time when I was very, very early on in the relationship with my mentor. He could just go for hours and hours about mind-blowing things. And after about 45 minutes of mind-blowing things, my mind is done working. I can't digest anymore. I would try to take notes, but I was fried after about 45 minutes, and here we are 3 hours into a conversation. I can't even handle it anymore. So it gave me all that time of communication that I couldn't really digest.
You know, it's just even as simple as if you pour liquid out on your kitchen counter, you're going to grab a downy picker upper, you know, you're going to grab the paper towel, but it can only absorb so much before you got to take that one and throw in. Put that aside and grab another one and allow that to soak up. So the brain in any one session can only absorb so much. And we have, as communicators, we want to give everything out, but we have to understand the capability of the brain to absorb, to process, and to internalize. Because your goal, again, is to transfer that information from you, your brain that has already experienced all of this, has already done the deep work, into that smaller bite that they can digest. You got to transfer, otherwise, and you can't just throw it at them.
I like that.
You just threw those hot dog pieces at your son. Right. He would have fun. He'd pick him up and throw it right back at you. But
I think it also boils down to like effective coaches in sporting, even. If you're just yelling at people all the time, you can't expect it to always stick. Sometimes it's that, hey, I'm going to pull this athlete aside and talk to him one-on-one and be like, hey, man, what's going on in your head?
And that's exactly right there. That position you're talking about right there. Are you going shoulder to shoulder with the person you're trying to communicate with? Are you above them and talking at them? Are you off in a distance, yelling off into the great abyss of what you're hoping they're going to hear? Or are you coming down shoulder to shoulder in a direct communication?
I love that. I find that powerful. That's a good way to put that. It helps you visualize it as well.
It does.
Now, I'm loving this conversation, and I am excited to keep digging into this with you. This is so much fun for me. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Grab your pen and pad if you can. We'll be right back on The Bottom Line with Mr. Todd Wall. We're back on The Bottom Line with your host, Ryan Herpin. And today we're talking about such a powerful thing, effective communication. And we have a wonderful guest, Mr. Todd Wall, someone who's becoming a good friend of mine and somebody that I'm looking up to. And I want to start digging into another topic that's still surrounding communication, but we're going to look at the keys to effective communication. Todd, it's such a pleasure to have you with us.
I love it. I'm excited to get to the bottom line. Let's jump in.
So I want to kind of avert the shift a little bit into more of a focus, right? What are the key strategies people can use right now to become more effective in their communication?
I'm a believer in trusting frameworks. So the goal that we're trying to get to in communication is get out of your head. So you need to get out of a scripted environment. All of the shows we have here, they're non-script environments. You need to get to a place where you're having an authentic communication with someone else. And so so I believe in building frameworks in order to serve like stepping stones in order to get from point A to point B. If I need to get across a river, across a stream, I'm going to choose safe places to place my foot here, then here, then here. And when I'm on each one of those, I'm 100% just on that. Because the problem is, problem in communication is you've got this picture of how you want it to look ahead of time. You got a picture in your mind of how you want to be portrayed. And you've got a picture many times of how you specifically want to say things. And if you've got all of those things swimming in your brain when you're trying to communicate, then you're just going to get to that stream and you're not going to pay attention to where your feet are specifically going because you're thinking about three steps ahead and what just happened behind and what might happen. Oh, look, your brain is going a million different places. So I believe in frameworks.
Just I really like that.
The goal is so that you can be exactly where you're at. The conclusion of the message will take care of itself. The call to action will take care of itself. The explanation, the analysis of your point, it will take care of itself when you are there. But only be right where you are.
It's funny the way you say that. I feel like that almost is speaking directly to me as someone that inspires to be a speaker for a living. It's letting it come natural. Let it flow out of you. Let that passion take control and deliver the message, deliver the communication in a framework that not only is understandable, but yet can make that impact at the same time. And there's a lot of strategies to do that.
You know, and you did that very well, even in the first segment of this show. One of the primary frameworks that we operate here is how we break down the problem that the audience is feeling. And so, and a lot of this comes from Donald Miller with StoryBrand, but I love how it's you break down the problem into three individual parts. So what is the literal physical problem that the audience is actually facing? They're dealing with X, Y, and Z. But then how does it feel to them? Well, and it feels like one, two, three. Why is this something that needs to change? And if it changes, what does happily ever after look like? Or what does a dumpster fire really look like? You know, and the simplicity of that framework, you've seen that throughout stories, movies, throughout time. You know, that is the dragon. The dragon just came in, burned our village, and stole the princess. And now everyone is feeling scared, wet, and just petrified that the dragon's going to come back and steal their daughters. What happened? Yeah. What is the dragon lurking right around the corner? That's why we have to hire the hero that has the magic sword that can go and defeat the dragon so that he does not come back for our daughters and destroy our village again. You ever heard that pattern before?
I would like to say you're employing the perfect example of clarity and simplicity all at the same time, because breaking it down to a little story like that, or I like to say a parable even, it makes it easy to digest, to understand and connect to, and to get that feeling of, man, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. And at the same time, I'm looking at this communication from a different perspective, right? I'm right now in the position of I'm trying to listen to you. Mm-hmm. So that makes me want to ask another question about what role does active listening play in that effective communication?
Active listening is really about, are you actually in the conversation? If I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next, I'm not in an authentic communication. If I'm thinking about what's the next point on my outline, I'm not in communication. I'm not in the moment. So like even the frameworks, when you talk about the problem and when you go into talking about how it feels, just be right there. Camp there. Feel it. Feel what that other person is going through so that that's the active part of it. You're dancing in the moment with the audience and with the person listening. You know, if it's on video, you have to picture who that other person is. So you're talking to a specific person and it's a dance. How do you do active listening? You're dancing with that person. I had a coaching session with someone who was nervous about doing leading a group of people. And it was beautiful. She was a Latin woman. And that coaching conversation, I said, would it be fair to say as a Latin woman, dancing probably comes really natural to you? She goes, well, yeah. In my mind, she quoted Shakira. Yeah, these hips don't lie. So the dance comes natural. I said, okay, great. So when you're leading this situation, what if when you're leading that team, what if it was a dance? Now, when you're dancing with someone, are you pre-scripting all of the moves ahead of time? Well, she said, no, I know this move. I know that move. I know this move, you know, whatever the secret is. I know the literal elements. Yeah. Okay, good. So you've done the pre-work ahead of time. You know the specifics of the cabbage patch in order to bring that power that you and I know is the cabbage patch. But so when you're in that moment, when I was talking to her, I said, how, when you're dancing with someone, how do you know what to do next? She said, you hear the music, you see that other person, and you just automatically know where to go next. Oh, so what you're saying is when you're dancing in the moment, it automatically comes to you instinctively. So it's okay to trust yourself in that moment.
Okay.
Versus the middle-aged white guy that can't dance is trying to pre-script everything and walk into that dance moment and he's trying to cabbage patch. Like, okay, dude, that's not even the song that's on right now. Bro, you're missing the music. That's why no one's dancing with you.
Hey, man, you don't got to take a personal shot at me like that just because I can barely get that cabbage patch out. I love that. That makes a lot of sense. It's that natural flow, the natural feeling, right? But at the same time, I think it really does require a sense of vulnerability.
Absolutely.
You've got to be willing to just be natural.
In that moment. And active listening is the core of trusting yourself in that moment and not going back to your notes. Not going back to your message, but being comfortable being in the moment with that other person. They might say something that throws you off, but you know what? You're probably going to react to it okay.
I feel like we could boil this down to a sense of authenticity.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good way to put that. It's just a sense of authenticity and genuine intent in communication. And I think it really does have a common denominator of relationship.
Yeah. I mean, even from stage, if you're on stage with a group of people, what if you viewed that as you're dancing with those people? Does that change your perspective? Does that change your posture? Does that even change how you want to communicate?
I would say that definitely has to impact that perspective.
That's shifting from one-way communication, which was that blind spot, to I'm now having a dialogue. And that's when you come up with like the technique I mentioned earlier. Here's the complex thing. how would that look in your world? In your role, Steve, in your role, we want to implement this culture principle of 1, 2, 3. What would that look like for your role? Interesting. Okay. Now, Susie, for your role, what would that look like for you? That same principle. How would you apply that? And it's just this head turn.
Yeah, it's funny that boils back to a lesson that took me so long to learn as I pursued leadership roles in different businesses. My mentor had this funny way of having extremely efficient communication, and all he did was ask questions. That's all it boiled down to. He knew the end destination. He had the objective in mind. It's like if we needed a solution, he wouldn't give me the solution. He just asked all the questions to lead me to the solution.
Do you know why that's so powerful? I can talk at people all day long, but it's what they choose to act on that matters. Remember, that's the proof of that we connected. That those questions toss the ball back to the other person. It gives them the opportunity to have authority of their own decisions. Mm. It brings them into the conversation. Boy, you better get us out of this segment.
Yeah, this is good. This is good stuff right here. I think we could go on this for hours. I love this conversation. I'm excited to ask deeper, more questions, just kind of overall. We could talk about this for days, no doubt. So please make sure you grab pen and pad if you're coming back to us, because we're going to have a lot more Todd Wahl in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back soon on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and we're here to continue this powerful conversation with Mr. Todd Wahl. Honestly, somebody who is just blowing my mind right now with his expertise and experience and knowledge in effective communication. Now, let's give the audience some practical steps. So, Todd, it is a pleasure to have you here. I'm excited to dig into this more with you.
I love it, Ryan. Let's get to that bottom line. Let's go for it.
So, how can we implement in today's world with all the sensitivities that surround communication, how can we still get a message across on a touchy topic without striking massive offense?
Then in that scenario, if you understand it's delicate, how do you normally handle delicate things? So one of the coaching principles that I operate by, if it's true there, then it's also true here. So you find, just like we did with the paper towel in the absorption, I can understand how to do something by understanding how I do virtually the same thing somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So if I'm pulling something hot out of the oven, one, I'm going to have some mitts on. I'm going to have a little bit of protection in place. And so, because I understand that it's hot. So I'm going to understand that I'm going to need to have some protection, and that other person also is going to kind of handle it kind of delicately. So if I understand that it's hot on the front end, I don't grab that thing out of the hot oven and yank it out and move quickly. That's going to spill all over everybody. That would be a tad aggressive, I would say. So that's the first element. Am I going too aggressive? Am I handling a delicate issue in a delicate way? Same thing as if I'm pulling something out of a hot stove.
I really like that. And in today's world, like I said, it's so easy to have a hard conversation. So this leads me to something that's a little more practical. Mm-hmm. What are some daily habits or disciplines we can implement in our lives to prepare us to be effective communicators, even when it is hard? I'm all about discipline and routine and refining skills mm-hmm. and abilities. So even for me, what are some disciplines we can implement that'll get us prepared to be confident and effective in those situations?
Oh man, you just went into my wheelhouse. I believe that everyone needs a playbook. This is what I do with my clients. I help them build a personal playbook. And this is what it comes into. We're all dealing with specific situations that deviate us from our normal day-to-day life, our normal day-to-day situation. that specific situation requires me to believe something differently and to think differently and act differently in order to get to the other side of that parentheses. I have to be intentional to analyze what is the situation that I'm in so that I know which tools to operate by, so that I don't bring a hammer when a screwdriver is what's necessary. So let me back up even the next step prior to that. So that I can be authentic in the moment, I need to know what my message is on the front end. If I'm fully prepared on the front end, then I can be in the moment. The greatest power is when the message transforms into the messenger. So the messenger becomes the message. It's when that unity actually occurs. So what are your primary messages? Are they written down ahead of time? Or are they just floating in the nebulous of your brain so that when you're in the moment, it's just really, it's your emotions that are going to come out. Okay.
That's fair.
So ahead of time, what is your message? And here's the thing I love to talk about. Taking that complex message and then boiling it down to where it could go on a t-shirt, it could go on a bumper sticker. These are what I call pregnant phrases, meaning it's packed full of life. And so that when I explain it, they go, oh, that's what that means. Now, every time I say that over and over again, all I need to say is the short phrase, and they automatically understand the rest of it. What if the complexity of your business culture or your message, you explain whatever that bumper sticker is, and then you keep repeating the bumper sticker?
Brevity.
And making it memorable. You know, would someone put it on their car?
Right. Yep. And it's funny.
Wear it on a t-shirt.
it's funny. I always tell my business partner, he is the master of brevity. He's got all these little one-liners that are just so jam-packed of meaning and has so much depth, but it's not that way for everybody. It's because I've built this relationship with him, communicated with him long enough that all these jam-packed things have that meaning for me, right? So there's that deeper connection aspect of the communication. And while we're working on these disciplines and these attitudes, these attributes to become better, more prepared for those situations of communication, how can we measure if we're becoming more effective communicators? I find we can't truly change things that we cannot measure. So what are some strategies that our listeners, even myself, could employ to measure if we're improving?
So it's the physical picture of, did I speak it and walk away? Or did I speak it and listen? Am I getting the result that I'm looking for? It comes down into, you know, what's the physical result? If you say danger to the left and they walk to the right, there's a gap in communication there somewhere. Don't blame them. They probably heard something different than what you intended to say. The biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it actually took place. So we shouldn't, we got to begin with this understanding that communication is difficult and I need to break it into small intentional pieces. I got to make sure that each bite is swallowed. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, follow-up questions. You know, when I said that, what did you hear when I said that? Asking the team to recap what they heard. Building a culture where people mirror back. And this is active listening. I think this is the basis of active listening. If you create within your culture the action of, okay, what I heard you just say was XYZ. Then with your team, you can easily say, what did you hear me just say? And it's not an attack. It's not defensive. It's part of your culture. We just want to make sure we're heard. And so, you know, we don't always speak as clearly as we think we do. In fact, the majority of the time we don't.
I would have to agree with that on so many levels. And you touched base on something that I also think is very valuable to talk about. what advice could you give to those who struggle with the confidence in communication? What could you help give to help somebody overcome the fear or hesitation in communicating, whether it be just to another individual or a group? What are some ways that people can overcome that?
This is my wheelhouse because my specialty is coaching introverts. I had one client that I love. She was an accountant, and she began the very first session. She needed to make these big reports in front of the CEOs and the top executives on a regular basis, and she was stuttering and stammering through each one, and she was losing authority each time. And when we our first session, she said, "Look, I need to begin just by telling you, I'm clinically diagnosed with social anxiety about talking in front of people." And I said, okay, well, let's see what we can do. Here's what I've learned. We operate according to the identity that we've given ourselves. People always doubt me when I tell them I am an introvert. I'm an introvert also that in high school and young age, I had a lot of anxiety about speaking out in public, about doing things public, a lot of anxiety. But I built a character. I built an identity that I could hide behind. And when I was in television, it was this character, TV Toad, that had a dance on the sideline at Dallas Cowboy games. And it was an alter ego that I was able to operate with. And so this person I was coaching said, "Well, who's somebody that you really idolize?" She says, "Oh, I really idolize Oprah." Okay. "Well, what does Oprah do?" She said, and she walks in the room. She has this authority. She does this. She does. Okay. So you've got a clear picture of that. And so we said, one thing we notice Oprah do is as if she's holding a boulder. She lifts that boulder up. She tightens her belly and she brings all that air in. And then she lowers it down to where the people can understand it. Do you see how I just taught that person to change their vocal tone by the visual of lifting up the boulder, pulling in that air? And so she took on this new identity of being Oprah in these moments. She is dynamite now. I talked to the COO afterwards. I said, "Did you happen to notice anything differently?" She said, "Oh, she was a completely different person." So it's about choosing an identity to where you're not wearing your anxieties. You put on your superhero costume. You choose your superhero. You choose the person that you want to be, and you step into and you show up as that person. You become that identity that you're wanting to be. It is 100% your choice. And you choose it, you define it, and you step into it. I mean, Beyonce has done this for years with her character of Sasha Fierce. This is part of where this comes from. I met Beyonce one day on a beach. She didn't look like the person we know on stage. She looked meek. She had no makeup on. She was quiet. There has to be a character that you step into.
I love how you put that, because one of my deep beliefs is life is just the art of constantly becoming something, right? And I love this. This has been absolutely wonderful. Todd, thank you so much for sharing your expertise today. I think you've definitely shown that communication truly is the heartbeat of connection, influence, and success. And after that story, I can only imagine how many people are really going to want to reach out to you and learn from you personally. Where can people find you?
Hey, they can email me directly at toddwall@yet.coach. And so it's just reach out. You got a question, email me, and let's have a conversation. It's all about that dialogue.
It's been absolutely wonderful. Extremely powerful. Like if I could have, I would have just had my notes in front of me and scratched a lot of that down so I could reflect on that later, because I think one thing that I have learned from this is all of us can improve in our communication. And I think today's conversation reminded us that effective communication isn't just a skill. It's the foundation of everything we build, whether it's leadership, relationships, or personal growth. How we communicate shapes every outcome that we have. So I challenge you, commit today to listening actively, speaking authentically, and connecting genuinely. Remember, true success isn't just about being heard, it's about being understood. Thank you for joining us today on this impactful episode of The Bottom Line. I hope to see you next time. Coming soon.